The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and we got some basketball to talk about and some NFL to talk about and some bowl games and you name it. Let's just do this. It's a post-Christmas version of the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, a little under the weather today, and Tyler Scott filling in. It's always normal when Tyler's here. He's like the best fill-in by far. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. 713-780-ESPN. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. And you can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to comment on the Twitch channel, you can do that as well. And it's a Thursday. I think we're the only usual guys here.
We, without question, are. And I'm only half here.
Yeah, you're...
My voice, not great. I had... My eyes dilated today, so I'm not feeling all that good. It's just,
how many times are you going to do that and come into work? Because this is the third time that you've had your eyes dilated, and each time it's been...
Because in January, I'm going to actually have my eye surgery.
Ah.
And then I'm going to have to miss a day of work.
Okay.
So, when I can work, I want to work. Well, and what am I going to do? Call somebody on the day after Christmas and be like, hey, can you work for me today? I got drops put in my eyes. Can you work for me? Come on.
Well, maybe you should have planned that a little better.
Yeah, maybe.
Just saying. How was your Christmas?
It was good. Christmas is for kids now, so it's the kids had a good time, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You?
It was
anything exciting?
It was really good, actually. Went down to Lamarck to visit the family, and it was kind of different because my grandmother, who's getting up there, just got out of the hospital, so she was just happy to have everybody there. My mom's going through chemo, so she was just happy to have everybody there. And we just had a great time. We did kind of old school, like our Christmases used to be when my dad was there, where we basically sit there and make fun of everybody. And Katie's kind of taking up the mantle as head a-hole.
Nice.
And she did a great job.
Atta girl.
And then we did our usual go see a movie on Christmas Day thing. Made a bad tactical error. We usually go about 2 o'clock, but we
went
stayed
to an
longer.
Evening show.
We went to a 4 o'clock show.
Is that a thing people go do?
Yeah, that place was packed. We barely got tickets for a show that I didn't think anybody was going to.
What'd you see?
We saw Knives Out.
Okay.
Which is, if you like...
It's almost like a whodunit movie.
It's a whodunit with kind of the ensemble cast.
I like that.
And Daniel Craig with a southern accent, the kind of accent that we do on the show all the time.
All right.
But I thought it was fun. It was well done, and I enjoyed it, and... it's not where one of those where you're gonna say, oh, you've got to go see this movie, it's the greatest thing ever. But it was, if you like whodunits, they did a nice job with it, and it was fun, and so I enjoyed it. So it was a good day.
I watched the Diamond Head Hoops Classic most of the day yesterday.
I did watch the championship game of that when I got home.
I did too, and I was disappointed in the result. I know you probably weren't.
I was not at all. As a matter of fact, I was really surprised though at the end, because I did punch a little ticket on Coug -1. And it got to like -3 at one point.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised to see that.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about, because I punched it when it came out at Washington -1. And then by tip off, it was Washington +3. And I was like, oh, that ain't good.
Yeah.
The market disagrees strongly with me. Well, and then I watched the first half of the game.
Like, oh, I got this.
It's exactly what I expected the game to look like. Washington's front court just dominating and UH having no answer for it. And I was like, oh, great. And then they melted. And, Coug gets a good win.
That's an important win, because we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. before yesterday, they didn't have a win good enough to even get them in the tournament conversation.
Nope.
So, and not that beating Georgia Tech was that big a deal, but that's a decent win. This is a really good...
No, not really. Georgia Tech's a pretty bad Power 5 team, all things considered. I mean, this is a solid win.
It's still better than the Texas States they've been beating and stuff like that. So, but that was the first, because last year at this time, they had wins over LSU, Utah State, who was a tournament team. They had beaten Oregon on the road, and BYU, who wound up not being that great, but still, those were good wins at BYU. They didn't have any of that this year. Oklahoma State, who they lost Oklahoma State, BYU, and Oregon this year, and they really didn't have that win where you could say, well, okay, that's a good win to put on your tournament resume. Well, now they do. So, and I thought it was kind of telling what Kelvin was saying afterwards about, yeah, we couldn't have won this game a month ago, which I agree with, and I still don't think they're as good as they're going to be, but that was a good win for them, and it was fun to watch, at least for me. I know it wasn't for you, but
yeah, it happens. More, you know what was more disgusting than that? Did you watch the Hawaii-BYU bowl game?
I did.
Oh. Listen, I'm not usually one to blame refs for wins or losses. The refs stole that game from BYU. They took away a touchdown. Then they took away a field goal. Inexplicably,
that field goal was good. What the hell?
That field goal was 100% good. And then they looked at each other and they're like, nope.
Yeah.
What? And then they show a replay and I'm like, yeah, that's still good. And somehow they decide, no good. And then Hawaii receiver fumbles the ball after he'd been running with it for like 3 seconds. And they're like, nah, he didn't complete the catch. Incomplete.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well.
And I knew what was going to happen at the end. BYU was going to go down or Hawaii was going to go down and score a touchdown and win by four. Well, that's exactly what I expected.
Let me tell you what my sweat in that game was. I had over 66.5.
Oh.
At halftime, I'm like, I'm not even worried.
I knew a dude tweeted me and was like, oh, I'm worried about getting this 66.5. I said, don't worry. Hawaii's going to go down, score a touchdown, and win by four. That's exactly what happened.
Well, all I needed was them to count the BYU field goal.
Well, that would have been better.
That's all I needed. But
would have been better.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. It was one of those that there's no way I should be sweating that over at halftime when there's 55 points on the board.
You know what the worst is in our bowl confidence pool?
Yeah, what?
Cody Stutes had Hawaii for 39 points.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. So he just got gifted 39 points, which is gross, and he's in first place now.
Guess who's in second?
Tyler Scott.
I'm guessing Tyler Scott's in second, since I lost a big one with SMU, so I'm in trouble, but I did get a couple of decent wins. So I'm hanging around, but most of my high ones are games that nobody's really interested in but me.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, that was that, and then your Rockets played yesterday.
Ooh.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you, I always say it's about Christmas before I can figure out what a team is. I think it's gonna take me a couple more weeks with them, but believe it or not, I'm actually kind of encouraged. I know yesterday sucked.
You can be,
but the Warriors have won three in a row now. They're actually playing better basketball.
Gets them up to 8 wins on the season. All right.
Well, hey, they've the highest percentage of their wins have come in the last week.
Yeah.
So there's that. But if these guys can ever figure out some defense, some team defense, then I think they're going to be okay. I think they're finally figuring out how to use Westbrook with Harden, and now they just got to figure out how to play defense.
I think it depends on what you consider to be okay. I mean, I think that they will probably win a playoff series. But if you think that this team is somehow like a finals contender, I vehemently disagree with you.
As of today, I don't think they are, but ask me again in a month or so.
Someone tweeted today, no elite teams are scared of the Rockets. And I tend to believe that that's true because they either play 4-on-1 or 1-on-5 or a 5-on-4 or a 5-on-1. When James Harden has the ball, it's 5-on-1. And I don't think anybody's scared of them. And someone said they're the worst good team ever.
And yeah, I think that's a bit much.
I think it's a bit much, too, only because the Lob City Clippers existed.
Yeah.
But
any Blake Griffin team.
They're right there in that discussion, though. They're a good, bad team.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think they're better than that.
They're not. They're still a Mike D'Antoni team. Mike D'Antoni's never done anything more than he's done. He's never going to do anything more than he's done. He is what he is at this point. And James Harden is the perfect, perfect piece to his puzzle that keeps him right there at mediocre. They'll win a bunch of regular season games, and they'll die in the playoffs. It's almost a lock.
Well, I'm not even saying anything about the playoffs yet, but
no. Well,
you know, that is, and that as long as they've got D'Antoni and Harden and Westbrook, three guys who haven't had much postseason success and have blown some series, then that's going to be a question. But I think this can work with these guys. I really do. I think they need another addition, and I still think it's a work in progress. But
that's what we hear every single year.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Just need to add another guy.
Well, they do need, to add another guy. They do need to add another guy on this team, because I don't think those two by themselves are going to get it done. But we'll see. Yeah, I'm not going out and buying Rockets underwear or penciling them into a finals appearance, but I don't think they're that bad. It's easy to get on them after yesterday because that was pretty pathetic, but I think they'll be all right.
Well, I tend to think that the Warriors actually did a good job of their approach to James Harden.
Yeah, and that's something that, let's give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to give a team that's that bad too much credit, but, you know, this is where Steve Kerr can actually prove that he can coach, and he didn't run into a luck box pile of great players. But they took James Harden away and said, okay, Russell Westbrook, you beat us, and you see what happens. He's not the most efficient guy out there.
Well, they did some things to slow him down a little bit too, which
make him shoot.
Well, make him shoot from the outside.
Yeah, that's, keep doing that. Yeah. Everybody, once but everybody does that,
they packed it in and took away a lot of his drives. And,
yeah,
yeah. You know, that, you know, guess what? It worked.
11 of 32 from the field, 0 of 8 from three. And it was a night where James Harden was 9 of 18, 6 of 10 from three. They would he would have loved to have more shots because he was playing well. They didn't give it to him.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. We come back. We'll grab some phone calls. Get caught up on all the social media. Let's have some fun today. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Tate Martell sighting for Miami here. Apparently he's on the field.
That's good news because I played the under.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I wanted to bet Louisiana Tech here, but I chickened out.
I was so close to pushing a button on Miami because my power ratings have them, like, I think 11.5 points better.
Yeah.
But they've got no motivation. And right. Miami without motivation. I mean, had they beaten Florida International their last regular season game, I might have thought about it. But it just seems like they don't care. So far, it looks like they don't care. And I figured it'd be a low-scoring game. So far, we're at 7-0 about halfway through the second. That's good.
Let's squeeze in a call. Bobby. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, sports.
Sports. Sports, Bobby.
Definitely love y'all's show. Been watching y'all forever. Got to tune in earlier on the Twitch chat after I got home to watch Josh and Mike. Great job by AJ on that, honestly. Like, those two together is something special. But no, I love you and AJ. Definitely keep it up. And thanks, Fred, for keeping an eye on Twitch chat. I'm the pizza guy. So, just definitely keep it up, guys.
All right. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate you listening. Both shows.
Thanks, Penna. Yeah, I enjoyed listening to those guys today. Both very talented dudes. So, good job by you getting them in here.
Honestly, I'll give some props to Josh because when I asked Josh to fill in, he asked if he could work with Meltzer. And I asked Meltzer, and he was like, yeah, I'll do that. So, Josh was the guy. He was the catalyst there.
Well, I don't think that guy's going to be out of a job for too long. He's too talented. J.J. Watt going to be back for the playoffs.
It's good news, man, because the Texans' defense is garbage without him.
I did some numbers for the article I wrote about it. Would you like to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay.
My analysis wasn't good enough? The defense is garbage without him?
Well, this...
You go in more depth, I guess.
There's some numbers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna do my Lance impression. You know I'm a numbers guy, right?
Yes.
So here's some
yes.
numbers for you. I'm not a numbers guy, but here, with Watt in the lineup, opponents average 362 yards per game on offense.
Okay.
With him out of the lineup, 407 yards per game.
Okay.
With a healthy Watt, they allowed over 400 yards just one time. That was the opener against the Saints, and that was as much of the stupid rush three drop Aaron Colvin back in coverage bit.
That was back when they thought they had a secondary.
Yeah, yeah. Which, but without him, in the seven games without him, they've allowed over 400 yards four times and 391 against the Broncos. So there is an impact there. Now, the sacks aren't that different. With him in the lineup, they had 17, and that was in 8.5 games. So in 6.5 without him, they've had 14. But
who's getting these sacks?
Well, that's the thing. He's still second on the team in sacks.
That's crazy.
Whitney Mercilus has 7.5, and Watt has 4. So he's still second on the team.
All right.
So, yes, to, you know, back up what you were saying, their defense has sucked without him.
Yeah, they're garbage.
Yeah.
So it'll be good to have him in the playoffs. That's gives them a fighting chance anyway.
There was a few people like, oh, no, you should don't risk hurting him again.
What? Why?
Why? If you're not going to risk a guy in the playoffs, what are you bothering for? Oh, you want him healthy for next year when you can go 9-7 with him?
Yeah, no thanks.
If he makes it through the season? And, oh, by the way, he's got an entire offseason to get healthy? Get his ass out there.
Well, also, there's no dead cap if you have to cut the guy. So, I mean, I don't mean to be ugly about things. But.
Oh, sure you do. Sure you do. But
if he can't stay healthy, listen, you got to be on the field.
Yeah, I mean, but the only reason, I mean, to me, this goes back to when the Nationals shut down Strasburg that year. It's like, why didn't you shut him down in the regular season and have him ready in the playoffs?
Yeah.
If the guy can get on the field, you get him on the field. I mean, that's just silly. I can't believe anybody, I don't want him to get hurt any worse. Well, how's that affect your life?
Well, I will say it's a little bit different with like a young pitching prospect who's never had that many innings on his arm before. Like,
yeah, but I mean, I still would have done it differently. I would have taken, you know, fewer starts during the season. Yeah. So you could get those innings in the playoffs.
But if you remember, they barely made the playoffs, and part of the reason they made the playoffs is because he was fantastic.
Yeah, well, they didn't do anything in the playoffs.
And until they got a ring now. They don't care.
They do now, so it doesn't matter. But I think...
And sure, the Texans will get a ring this year, and no, you know...
No, they already got one, AJ. Oh. They are the champions of the AFC South.
In your face, other teams.
Somebody tell me they really were playing We Are the Champions after they won.
Oh, gross.
Is that...
That's so Texans.
It is. I mean, the only thing missing was the Letterman jacket to go with it. Mm. But, hey, it's not easy to win the AFC South.
I mean, like, this year it kind of was.
It's harder than winning the NFC East?
Maybe. But if you took a look at the Las Vegas odds, would it shock you to know that the Texans have the exact same odds to win the Super Bowl as the Philadelphia Eagles?
It wouldn't shock me, but I don't know how the Eagles could come out. I don't even know if the Eagles are winning that division.
Neither does anybody, but they still have the same odds as the Texans. That tells you what Vegas thinks of the Texans.
Yeah, well, Vegas probably has seen enough of the Texans.
They probably know.
But the other interesting thing about it is the way the schedule's set up, the Texans will know by the time they kick off whether or not the three seeds in play, it won't be because Kansas City is going to beat San Diego like a drum. Even if they throw a backup out there, I mean, Kansas City's defense right now is playing great and they'll score enough. So Kansas City's going to win. So then it becomes how much do you play Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, any of these cats. And if you get to start time and the Chiefs have somehow lost, I think you play them. You try to get the three seed. But if not, I don't want to see him out there. I mean, you can't change anything in your positioning, so why do it?
Winning the three seed is incredibly important in my mind for a couple reasons. One, if you're the three seed, your first round game is, I think, significantly easier than the Bills. I think the Bills are going to be a tough out. Secondly, if you're the three seed, you don't have to see the Ravens until the championship game.
That to me is the more important thing because I'm not scared of the Bills. But
I'm not scared of the Bills. Well, I mean, the Texans shouldn't be looking past anybody.
No, but
I would much rather play the Titans or the Steelers or the Raiders.
Well, I would rather play the Steelers or the Raiders. I wouldn't want to play the Titans a third time in basically 4 weeks.
Yeah,
that
I'd take my chances.
Yeah, I'll take my chances with the Bills. But having to go on the road and beat the Ravens, I mean, at some point you're going to have to do it. if you really think you're a Super Bowl team. But for me, if they could make it to the AFC Championship, that would be a successful season for once. They're not beating Baltimore on the road. That's why I'd rather be three, so that it doesn't get there until the championship game, and maybe you get lucky and Lamar Jackson gets hurt or something.
Well, and the other thing, if you're the three and Kansas City drops to four, that essentially, you know, one of the two best teams in the AFC gets wiped out in the second round.
Right.
So that's another added benefit of being the three seed, is you get to watch those two teams. It's almost like...
Yeah, because that, to me, Kansas City's the one team that has a chance to beat Baltimore, yeah. And they've already done it this year, too.
So it's kind of like being LSU and watching Clemson and Ohio State play.
Yeah.
You know one of them is going to lose, which, by the way, we'll get to it at some point. It's like my worst nightmare for Oklahoma to beat LSU. That would be the worst-case scenario, wouldn't it? Because then the national championship game is going to be so uninteresting.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going
to
happen either.
I mean, I don't think you have to worry about it, but I mean, the one thing that worries me about that game from an LSU perspective is that Oklahoma can put up points, and that's been the weak spot all year for LSU. Now, their defense played better in the last few games, and they're going to need to play like that, but I was always kind of surprised that LSU gave up so many points all year. I know part of it was their offense was just going so fast that, you know, the defense was out there too much. They've got talent on that defense. They really do. They haven't been good all year. Well, they've been pretty good the last few games. And if they play like that, then I don't see Oklahoma slowing down.
Well,
Jose Burrow and company.
Pretty good the last few weeks against Georgia and Texas A&M. You know,
still though, I mean, that's when you, it's not like
Oklahoma's a different monster, obviously, on the offensive side.
It is, but I think the speed that LSU has on defense, I think they'll do just fine.
See, I'm not sold. I mean, I saw this team give up 37 to Ole Miss, 41 to Alabama with a hobbled quarterback, 38 to Vanderbilt. I mean, that stuff concerns me. I do think that LSU is going to be able to score at will. I have a hard time picturing them losing the game. I pray it doesn't happen, because if it's Oklahoma versus Clemson or Ohio State,
yeah, it's not going to be.
It's a waste of time.
I think LSU versus either one of those two teams is going to be
agreed
entertaining, and it's going to be. There'll be some doubt going in as to who can win.
Yeah,
I really believe that all three of those teams are pretty close. They've got some different, you know, some different advantages. At Clemson, it's hard to tell just because of the schedule, but they sure look fantastic. And you know, I would love to see, and I think Clemson's going to beat Ohio State. And I'd like to see Clemson too. LSU. I think that'd be an awesome game. And I don't know which direction I'd go yet. I want to see how they both play. But I do like, it doesn't feel like we've had the huge long gap that.
They play the day after tomorrow.
Well, I know they do, but I'm just saying it's been 3 weeks instead of a month.
Yeah, and then it'll be two more weeks before they play again, though.
Right, but that's okay. I mean, I think you can, you know, that part of it is fine. It's just, it's always been that long gap before the first game that I worry about teams losing their ability, you know, losing their edge, and I don't think that's going to be the case here. I think LSU is going to do just fine. By the way, Jacob Eason going into the NFL draft. I know you like him.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's the right move for him. I think he's probably the fourth or fifth quarterback, and he didn't have a lot of great film this year because Washington kind of sucked. But, I mean, if he's a big, he's got an NFL body. Somebody will draft him and take a chance with him.
Yeah, I think he's kind of a project guy, but I do think there's some upside there. And I think if he lands in the right place where they're going to sit him for a year behind somebody, and I think that's probably where he's going to go in the draft. I don't think he's going to go high enough to be a guy. Then in the right situation, I think he could be.
Maybe he's the guy that New England drafts.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then I would change my mind and say, yeah, he's going to be good.
Well, he may need to be good next year if he goes to New England.
Might be.
So, all right, guys, I have to tell you about my good friend, Dr. Linville. And, man, you want to talk about a great, great Christmas gift. How about getting my hair back? And it's such a cool process that you go through. And I went and saw Dr. Linville, and I was at that point where it's like, okay, I'm shaving it all off, or I'm going to get something done. And I didn't want to do hair plugs, and I didn't want to do all this other goofy stuff. And Dr. Linville sold me. He just said, hey, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take individual follicles from the back of your head, and we're going to use the NeoGraft procedure and put them where you're thinning. So it's my own hair. Can even redraw your hairline. And I'm telling you, it was such a great process. It's made such a huge difference. And believe me, it's not even close to where it's going to be in a couple months. But it's already just, I mean, I when I tweeted out the before and after pictures, I was stunned at just how bald I was before this happened. And, yeah, I still got some filling out to do, but it's been amazing. All you have to do is go to 975hair.com, and they'll get your consultation done. Just talk to Dr. Linville. He's had it done himself, and his hair looks fantastic. I promise you it makes a difference. Give yourself the gift right now. Go to 975hair.com. Get your hair back.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So can we step away from sports for just a second?
Let's do it.
Because my daughter introduced me to a website yesterday that once you get going down that rabbit hole, it's kind of hilarious.
Does it end in hub?
No, I already knew that one. It's called JewOrNotJew.com.
Okay.
And you basically go in and you punch in a name, and they have categories, actors, actresses, athletes and coaches, whatever.
Okay.
And you can find out if they're Jewish, and if they're not, what their Jewish score is. How Jewish are they?
All right.
So, like 15 is the highest score. That's like Mel Brooks is a 15. A zero is Hitler.
Yeah.
And Mel Gibson also with a zero.
Yeah.
But it's, if you want to just kind of get lost in goofy stuff, because believe me, you start looking up stuff like Darth Vader and all these other things, and you get their Jewish score. And it's pretty funny. So it's just JewOrNotJew.com. If you want to go down that rabbit hole on your own, be my guest. But we wound up spending half an hour looking up names yesterday.
Let's see, Fred.
Yeah, I don't think I'm on there. So, but you can look up the scores. Like Sarah Silverman's a 13 out of 15, which I would have thought she'd have been a 15. But yeah, so you can go look at it by score and see who the lowest ones are. So of the zeros, here's your four zeros: Adolf Hitler, Kim Jong Un, Joseph Stalin, and Mel Gibson.
Okay,
so and the 15s are, you know, basically who you'd expect: Mel Brooks, Albert Einstein, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Steven Spielberg, Anne Frank, Gilda Radner, the Marx Brothers. Anyway, it's pretty hilarious, some of the stuff you find on there, especially when you start getting into fictitious characters. Somebody said that Daniel Craig's accent in the movie really put him off and kept it from being great. And they even made fun of it. They did. They called him CSI KFC at one point. Which I thought was pretty funny, but yeah, I was telling you off air though, it's really hard for me to see Chris Evans now as anything but Captain America.
I could see that. That's it's been tough for me too.
Cause I mean, I've seen him in other movies before he was Captain, and even after he became Captain, okay, that's cool. But this is the first one I've seen since the Avengers ended that he's done, and it's like, nope, that's just the Captain.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for him to get his shield and beat the crap out of everybody. All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in, or you want to text the show, or you want to hit us up on the Twitch channel, you can do that. We're going to be here until 7 o'clock. Tomorrow's going to be a little weird, right? We're in between games.
Yes, we'll start early and end early. We'll be on for most of the usual suspects time slot, and the Aggie game should start around, what, 4:30, Tyler?
Yeah, 4:30. You'll probably go on maybe around 2:30 or 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not most of their time slot.
Yeah. So we'll be between bowls tomorrow. And then we're here Monday, and then not Tuesday, Wednesday.
We've got
bowl games, right? And then we'll be back the following Thursday again. Okay. I'm just here to work as much as possible. 713-780-3776. So Oh, here's a story that I know you're happy about. Your buddy Marshawn Lynch is back with the Seahawks.
Yes. I mean, I don't know what kind of odds to give the Seahawks at all at this point, but at least they're trying. They at least got a guy where familiarity helps, right?
Yeah, I don't know what he is at 33 years old and having not played all year, but maybe he's got enough left for a couple playoff games. That's all you really need, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was interesting. And then, if you saw this, but your Longhorns are targeting the Ohio State pass game coordinator and quarterback coach Mike Yurcich.
To be the OC?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that he's done a good job, obviously. I don't know what's going to help Tom Herman. I'm not sure. So I don't really care who they hire as long as they hire guys who aren't his direct buddies. And we'll just see how it works out.
I believe they've worked together before.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Yeah, that's, to me, one of the biggest mistakes coaches can make, Bill O'Brien, is hiring guys that are your boys.
Yep.
I mean, if you're a confident head coach, you go out and get somebody who's going to challenge you a little bit and bring something different. That's been my biggest beef with Bill O'Brien is, you know, go out and get me an offensive coordinator who used to be a head coach who will come up with some different stuff. It's still your offense, but let them throw in some different things. Let them call some plays. And, you know, guys who've had success at it at a coordinator level. Maybe they flamed out as a head coach. And he does that with Cornell. I mean, hell, when Whitney Mercilus had that pass return, he didn't even see it because he's over there working with the offense. He just lets Romeo do the defense. I'm not saying he needs somebody to that extent offensively, but if you had the right guy, I think it'd make your team so much better.
Yeah.
But I've been beating that drum forever, and it's never going to change. He wants complete control over that. And the best coaches are, to me, you know, they're guys who aren't afraid to, other than Belichick, who just does his own thing, but he's completely different. But the other guys, like when, and Andy Reid, to me, is a great example. A couple of years ago when the offense was sputtering, he turned the play calling over to Matt Nagy, just said, here, you do this. And it got Nagy a coaching job, maybe a good idea, maybe not, I don't know, but he wasn't afraid to step aside and say, here, take over the offense, it's not working right now. That's how you're successful. So he said, I bet Lynch has enough left in him for 1 yard.
Zing. Ooh.
Yeah. So, all right. So there you go. There's your news. I think I've caught you up on all the news stuff. Oh, that and Mark Cuban agrees with you that the idea of an in-season NBA tournament is dumb.
That's ridiculous.
I kind of agree with it. The way they're presenting it, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. So is it still 7-0 in this game? Are we at halftime?
Yeah, halftime, 7-0.
Boy, what a thriller.
Let's get.
Sorry, I'm going to miss out on watching that. I don't want to go through all these because there's too many of them, but Pro Football Talk is doing like their top 10 position players for the decade. And
no, it's 7-0.
Yeah, that's what I said. 7-0.
Oh, I thought you said 7-7. Nope. Sorry.
But they did their defensive linemen, top 10 defensive linemen.
All right.
And I think you'd agree with most of these. This is going back to 2010 now. Keep in mind. So number 10, Haloti Ngata.
Hard to argue.
Yeah, he was first half of the decade, he might have been the best.
He was a monster.
Inside guy, yeah. Cam Hayward, number 9.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
I might have Ngata ahead of him.
I think I would, too. Geno Atkins, number 8.
Fair.
That guy had a really good run. And Ndamukong Suh, number 7.
Oh, okay.
Cameron Jordan, number 6.
Okay. Solid.
Yeah, 29 sacks in his first four seasons, but 39 and a half the last three.
I bet.
Let's see if you can guess the top four, or top five, excuse me.
Okay. J.J. Watt's an easy one.
Yes, he's on the list.
Aaron Donald's an easy one.
Aaron Donald, number 3. Ooh.
Cameron Wake.
Cameron Wake, number 5.
Julius Peppers.
Number 2. So you're only missing one. It's one of those that when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Do they count Chandler Jones?
They do not. I'm guessing he's part of the linebacker
crew.
Yeah, which they did the linebackers today. I haven't looked at it. I found this one interesting because J.J. Watt was number one on their list. Which
did they? Oh, no, he didn't play enough in that decade.
So you're missing number four. Watt was one. Peppers two. Donald three. Wake five. Jordan six. Sue seven. Atkins eight. Hayward nine. Haloti not a 10.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Calais Campbell.
Okay.
It's one of those you
that
hear.
It seems a little bit high, though.
It does honestly seem a little high, but, you know, he makes sense on the list.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have, I probably would have Aaron Donald ahead of Julius Peppers. I would have Haloti not a lot higher on this list. And I think I'd have Ndamukong Suh a little bit higher. But it's not a bad list.
No, it's
and,
not.
And the reason I brought it up is because JJ is
he's the king in the castle.
He's number one.
That's right. So. It's the best ever.
All right, we are going
you
to
want to argue that? I didn't think so.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Do you care that it's the end of a decade?
No.
I don't either. I mean, I don't know what I'm missing here. Tyler, what about you? Is this like some big deal?
Nope. Means nothing to me.
I just thought it was me. Because like everybody's making a big deal out of, oh, well, should do some end-of-decade stories.
It's a content filler.
Yeah, well, I mean, I the only reason I brought that particular one up is because...
to fill content. You knew my voice was bad, and you were like, I'll fill a segment.
Well, no, I just thought that JJ being number one made it interesting.
Those.
But in Tennis Steel on Twitch, we were talking about coaches, like Kubiak, he says. I don't think Kubiak would come back, but that would be a perfect guy because basically what he's doing in Minnesota is consulting with the offense, right? And they've done a pretty good job, except for, well, maybe not so much Monday night. But I guess the Kirk Cousins on Monday night thing is a real thing. Was he 0-9 now?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, but I would love to see that because it would be a different voice. You know, and he doesn't have to take over the offense. Just work in some of those bootlegs, man. So, Rodney says, the decade doesn't end until December next year, though. That's not what everybody else is saying, Rodney.
I don't think so. Yeah, it's a whole new decade.
Yeah, it starts over.
It goes from January 1, 2010
right
to 2019. That's the entire aughts decade or the teens decade. And then the 20s will be from January 1, 2020 till December 31st, 2029.
Yeah, sorry. So, I mean.
Whoever told you that is a liar. Where'd you go to school? That's what I want to know. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, that's a don't press in thing. But, everybody's making a big deal out of this thing. It's kind of like, really? I mean, it's not like when we had the Y2K thing. And we were all supposed to die. I didn't really remember celebrating when it swept over to 2010.
Yeah.
So.
You know. I'm not worried anymore.
Speaking of the Y2K thing, I came across this thing maybe a couple weeks ago. But I guess this guy made it up in like over the summer sometime. But his hypothesis is that the world actually did end in 2012, whenever it was supposed to, whenever the Mayans predicted it would be, the world would come to an end, and we've all just been living in like a simulated reality since then.
Okay, there's a movie called The Matrix that he just stole the plot from.
It's possible.
Yeah, I am not a computer created thing. I'm a real human being. And that's a pretty dumb hypothesis. again, this is supposed to be a smart person.
Oh, no, it's a Twitter user.
Oh, well, there you go. He probably thinks the earth is flat. Oh, but since it ended, maybe it got flattened. Maybe that's what it is.
I'll try and find the thread for you.
Do you see how people are losing their mind that when they did Home Alone 2 in Canada, they cut out Trump's scene?
No.
Yeah.
Like Canadian Home Alone 2?
Well, it was they were showing it on CBC in Canada.
Oh, okay.
And they had to cut it for time, right? So they cut his cameo.
Oh, boy.
And people are losing their minds over it. How dare you?
Canadians are?
No.
Americans.
Americans.
Oh, of course.
Well, you know, people who like the president.
Yeah. I'm outraged myself, honestly.
I'm a little outraged.
Your people would do that.
I'm very disappointed in them.
Yeah.
So.
I want as much of Donald Trump in Home Alone 2 as possible.
Yeah.
Said everyone.
Yeah, 3-2 says that's exactly what I would expect a person living in a simulation to say. Okay. Yep, let's go ahead and start that whole. Let's get that rumor started that we don't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we're all just computer simulations.
Yeah, fun. Well, unless it was Neil deGrasse, unless it was someone really smart, let's just leave it at that. This guy doesn't qualify.
Yeah, you see Neil deGrasse Tyson pissing people off this week, too, with his tweet.
Well, yeah. If Neil deGrasse Tyson or OJ says it, I'll believe it.
I'll go Bill Nye, the science guy.
Or Bill Nye, yeah.
Yeah, those are my three. OJ, definitely, I'm definitely going to back up OJ.
Did you guys see that OJ won his fantasy football championship? Is anybody buying this? OJ, all he talked about was his crappy team that he drafted at the beginning of the year. Like, Antonio Brown was his first round pick. In any other world, do you win if your first few picks are all just busts? You can't. But OJ did somehow. I think, here's my hypothesis.
Are you surprised that OJ might lie?
He's just a master of the waiver wire.
Yeah. It could be that. Or he could just be in a league by himself.
He's joking with Josh when we were coming in. It's
and
like,
he controls
yeah,
all the teams.
Who all's in this league with him?
Yeah.
Now, I would be in a fantasy league with OJ.
I would not.
Really?
No.
And then the whole deal would be who could come up with the best name that fits.
I mean, that fits. Is that a glove pun?
It was a glove. Well, it wasn't a pun. It was just kind of a glove reference. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like, again, I shame like OJ. I don't want it to be known on the internets that I follow OJ. So I don't push the follow button. I just check up on him every day. And yesterday he was trending because I guess he blocked Lenny Dykstra on Twitter, which is another dude who's had his troubles with the law and is now
hasn't killed anybody yet. Allegedly.
No murders to his credit. But I think some of the same tax troubles that OJ had. I don't know if I want to be in OJ's inner circle. I don't know if I want to be driving him.
I don't have to be in his inner circle to be in his fantasy league.
That's true. If I could be in his fantasy league from here,
yeah,
I would do that.
Yeah. Of course, I guess if you win, he's probably never paying you.
That's possible. He'll just send you that belt with an image of him on it.
Oh. Yeah, I would have something like the Blonde Slayers for my team name if I were in there. As long as he's, Katie not liking the photo that I tweeted out of her yesterday.
Says,
Holiday 2 until Dad posts a picture I look good in. I saw
that picture.
Yeah, she's bitching because my eyes are closed. But I
was going to say you look way worse than her.
I always look way worse than her.
Yeah, you had eyes closed.
I those two look good in that one. I had the other photo of me where I didn't have my eyes closed. So with the brothers, she's spoiled.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, now I guess I'm gonna have to get everything approved now by her.
Yes.
It's like, okay, before I post this, is this okay? Millennials. Well, I'm not even sure she counts as a. I think she's in that one below millennial, whatever the one after that is.
Oh, I don't even know what those are.
Yeah, Tyler, do you know all these? Because I don't know the age ranges, and they change all the time.
I think I know the one before is Xennials, right? Or is that after millennials?
Let's see. We're going with born range from 1981 to 1996.
That's a millennial?
Yeah.
But isn't there like a subset of that?
Well, I thought there was another one.
Generation Z is 1996 on.
Okay. So that would be both of my kids.
Or Generation Zers?
Yeah.
Yeah, millennials are like the ones who work around here.
Right.
Like Tyler's a millennial.
I guess, apparently, technically.
Juggalo Trey is a millennial.
But he's more of a millennial than I'm a millennial.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He listens to like whatever weird music he listens to.
And Tyler sent us this thread of this guy talking about the end of the world. This is ridiculous. This guy is absolutely ridiculous.
I should have waited to send it to you. Now it might consume the show.
No, because this is like what happens when the guys who do Ancient Aliens get stoned and try to come up with the weirdest thing they can find. Yeah, it's got a whole thread. Did the world end in 2012? I got an answer for you. No.
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 I would have felt something, I think. A tingle or something. I got nothing.
Yeah, wouldn't you have like fallen asleep or something and woke up and said, hey, something feels different today?
I think it's just one of those things that maybe the Mayans were wrong.
Well,
it can happen.
Yeah, all of these guys who keep projecting the end of the world are always wrong. And you know what? The Mayans did it a long time ago. Guess what?
Yeah.
They're all gone. They don't have to stand up and say, oh, you know what? We were wrong. Because that civilization is gone. It ended for them. Just because the world ended for them doesn't mean it's going to end for us.
That's right. They actually missed their end date by quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. God, I can't believe this guy's like going on about on and on and on. It's if you want to get a good laugh, what would happen if we destroyed the universe? Would we know? Yeah,
because we'd be dead.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here. And if the universe
this is why I hate everybody.
Well, if the universe is destroyed, then shouldn't we live forever? No. Isn't that a positive?
No. If I live forever, I'll have to sit here reading this guy's dribble forever. I don't need this.
Yeah, I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
All right. I got to tell you about my computer career. If this was another year of, I'll get out of this crappy job eventually. Why haven't you considered an IT career? If it's because you're not a math or a computer genius, that's okay because it's not rocket science. It's my computer career, and helping people start an IT career from scratch is what they do. You can start yours in as little as 4 months. Just go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career, and they're going to help you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students after they graduate. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Make new year, new career your resolution, and take that free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu.
With the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.